Guys, welcome to the J. Scott Outdoors podcast. I want to get right to this episode. Before we do, I want to thank you guys for listening to this podcast. Want to let you know the best way to reach out to me is probably an email at jscottoutdoors@gmail.com or through my Instagram account at jscottoutdoors. Just send me a direct message. I want to thank GoHunt.com. They are the title sponsor and have been since the inception of my podcast in 2015. You guys know Cody Nelson, my friend, the glassing guru, the optics authority. They're the optics manager at GoHunt.com. If you guys have any optics needs, any tripod, any glassing questions, you can reach out to Cody directly at 602-399-3699. You can text or call him. That is his cell phone. You can also reach him at 702-847-8747. You can email optics@gohunt.com. Make sure to always use, whether ordering online or if you're calling and call Cody direct, use the J. Scott promo code. You're going to get a 10% discount. Also, you get a 10% discount at the Go Hunt Insider, which has incredible mapping now with the Go Hunt maps. It also has amazing draw odds and strategy articles, which is super important this spring going into application season. Go check it out, gohunt.com/jscott. And if you use the J. Scott promo code, you're going to get a $50 Go Hunt gear shop gift card when you sign up just by using the J. Scott promo code. I also want to thank Kuyu Ultralight Hunting. I've been using Kuyu gear since 2010 when the company started. They're based out of California. My late friend Jason Harrison was the founder of that company, and since Jason's passing, the company has just continued to push the bar of excellence and innovation. Go to Kuyu, that's KUIU.com. You can order, it's a direct-to-consumer website. They also have a retail store in Dallas, Texas, as well as the headquarters in Dixon, California. Go to Kuyu, KUIU.com to order. I also want to thank Phonescope.com. Cheston and his guys over there at Phonescope make the best digiscoping adapters for your binos or for your spotting scope. Use the JSCOT24 promo code and get a 10% discount on all orders. Guys, let's get right to this episode. Again, I appreciate you tuning in, and God bless. Guys, welcome to the J. Scott Outdoors podcast. We are here in Phoenix, Arizona at my house. I've got Brendan Burns and his son Lucas. How you guys doing?
Doing good.
It's great doing to good. Have you here. We just went for a little hike this morning. We took Poppy for a walk behind the house, and good to kind of show you my corner of the world here.
Yeah, I haven't spent a lot of time in Phoenix. We're down here for kids' spring break, kicking it at the kids' resort, which is an overwhelming thing, little water slides and all that stuff. So it's good to get out of the cold weather in Montana and come down here. And
nice to wear shorts, huh?
Yeah, it is nice. Yeah, got these clear white legs. Haven't even hit tanned yet. They're still glow in the dark. So
from what I've heard, Montana has been a dry winter. But lately got some snow.
Yeah, we got some snow this spring, but I call it spring now. But yeah, it was, we basically had no snow during hunting season from October through the end of December. It was crazy. So just super, super dry, really warm temperatures. I mean, it was into the 70s at the end of November. It was 60s and 70s. It was crazy.
When you have years like this, is there worry in the back of your mind? Because the year before, you guys had tons of rain and tons of moisture. Is there a worry about summer wildfires?
Yeah, I actually have a friend who's he's one of the fire guys for the Forest Service. He's like, he does all the modeling and all that kind of stuff. And he said, yeah, as of right now, but it can change in the spring. So, sure. You know, it was really hard to find deer and elk last fall during the rifle season. They were just, they had no reason to move around. There was no cold weather. There was nothing to push them around. There's plenty of food. It was green until the end of November. I mean, it was just pretty phenomenal. So
yeah, because if I remember right, the year before when you had the runoff, you had those bridges getting washed down, and, and I mean, historic flooding. And snowfall, right?
Yeah, I've seen 3,000-year floods in my life since about 96. they all say the same thing, so I think it's probably about 10 or 15 years.
Global warming.
Well, those ones were big rain. Yeah, that was pre-runoff when all that happened. It was a giant rainstorm in Yellowstone Park came down, but that was all pre-runoff, and it continued to stay high, so it was just a freak deal.
So in essence, when you get a ton of rain on top of snow, it melts the snow, and then it all comes, and it just floods it. So we were dry, got some snow. I mean, is the rainy time of year in the spring? I mean, is there a chance that it could all of a sudden turn rainy or no?
Oh yeah, it will definitely rain coming up. Yeah, we'll get some rain this spring. But you know, it's so different when you come down here, and you know, people are always like, "Oh, it's a good wet year for antler growth or whatever." And like down here, it truly is affected by that, because there are times where you cannot get a drink. That's not what we deal with. I think it really has to do with, we lose a lot of elk in the springtime and deer from it greens up super, and they eat all the stuff that they shouldn't be eating. They blow it up and die, and that definitely happens. You find stuff, you know, especially like sheep, I've noticed it quite a bit, that they get old rams die in the springtime. They don't generally die in the winter.
In essence, they make it through the harshest conditions in the winter, and it just starts to green up, and they eat too much and too fast, and they...
It'd be like a kid starving all winter long, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, candy, and you just have it, you just jump on the sugar and
overload.
Overload. So, but you know, it's year to year. I mean, our driest years have generally produced the biggest antlers, and I think it forces, you know, my theory is it forces them to eat stuff that they normally wouldn't eat, that's not like soft, and they eat
it
better stuff,
better when they're nutrition
grown.
Right. Since I've seen you last or talked to you last, you have been on a few hunts. I believe you just went on another bear hunt. I think we talked about it a little bit. What have you been doing?
I don't know when we were on last. I guess we'll just start over. I killed a big ram this fall in Alaska. You only hunt a sheep every 4 years in Alaska. Same with brown bear. Last spring I went with Lance. Lance drew a really good tag on Kodiak, and we went over there and he killed him. The biggest bear I've ever seen. He killed it with a rifle. It officially scored 29-7. It's like top 50 all time. It was unbelievable. Killed this giant bear that ended up getting in the ocean and going way out. We had to go swimming for it. It was a friggin' total adventure, which was pretty cool. Then I had a sheep hunt this fall in Alaska. I killed a great big ram. Really tough hunt. I mean, I know I always say that, but like I killed him on the 11th day of a 10-day hunt. Saw one legal sheep in 11 days. Great big hammer of ram, 41-inch, you know, high 60s kind of ram. Had a good fall this year, killed a great big bull in Montana.
Lucas really, was with you on that one.
Yeah, he's with me, yeah. I had some slow days, and then he had 3 days off, so I drove home, got him, came back. It's like, we're going to hunt hard for 4 days, and first morning, the bull that I'd been looking for showed up and had taken all the cows, and we did about 7 miles and came around on him, and end up working our, you know, wind was just one of those where it all works out, and all the cows fed right to us and literally started bedding 50 yards from us. We were waiting for them. We thought they were going to go past us. We were trying to intercept them, and they were going to stop right where we were at. And I told Lucas, like, just sit here, and this bull's going to come check cows. And like clockwork, 5 minutes
read
later,
the script.
He was on the left side and disappeared. I said, he's coming around, and he came all the way around the mountain and came up, checked all the cows, and came right to us, shot him at 50 yards.
Was that awesome, Lucas? You liked it, huh?
Yeah, sweet. It was cool. Shot him 50 yards. Super huge, heavy bull. He's only 32 inches wide. He's like right at 380 gross, but a lot of mass heavy in his time. Just a huge, heavy bull. So, yeah, and just helped some, helped some people out this fall and did some just another good year, you know, like they all kind of run together, but plenty going on. And then, just a lot of work and, you know.
Good stuff going on at Kuyu. I want to ask you about Lucas. I know I asked you on the last podcast, being able to have him grow up loving hunting like you do. How is that for you as a dad to be able to have a son that really likes what you like and be passionate about it, because we just spent an hour hiking and we were talking hunting, and you can tell he really loves it.
Yeah, it's cool, and it's like perfect timing too. It's weird because, like, I have done so much now, like between killing giant bears and, you know, a absolute mountain of huge elk, which has been my focus for 25 years, and, you know, brown bears and sheep. Like, I have done far more than I ever thought I would be able to do in my entire life, and I'm not bored with it, but it's not as challenging, and some of it's not as you just start looking for some new stuff all the time. So with him getting, it's like the perfect timing age-wise, because with him coming up, like, now I get to show him and he gets to go with me, and there's all, you know, I mean, like,
you get to do it all over again.
Yeah, I get to do it all over again. And like we had a big buck we were hunting this fall, a really big mule there, biggest mule there I've probably seen in 15 years, you know, and we screwed up on him. And I mean, Lucas should have killed him, and we made the wrong call, and he was bedded in a super obvious spot. And I was like, oh, we can just go right out. Like, we made the wrong call, and I don't know how this thing smelled us, but it smelled us from a long ways away. And he ended up killing a really nice deer. It was not that one, but you know, both of us were like, okay, what should we do? And we made the wrong call, and it's like, huh, that's how it goes sometimes.
Yeah.
So it was, and it's, he's coming with me. We're going to, the NWT mountain caribou hunt this summer. And, that's going to be pretty cool. So get to take his first big trip and go up there. So, yeah.
Awesome. That's going to be fantastic. You know, it's one of those things, having kids, and I don't have kids, but being, you know, seeing some of my buddies that have kids and be able to see the joy that they get from showing their kids what they love. One of the things I think that gets lost a lot is some of the big adventures that you've gone on. People see the big trophies and see the big animals, but they don't see, until they've watched some of those films that you've done, they don't really see the grind. They just see the results. So I think you being able to take Lucas, and you guys probably had a bunch of crummy days, maybe
tons,
not, but he gets to see that it's not just you just go out and shoot a big animal and it's done. There's a lot more to it than that. And it's kind of like life, you know, there's, you know, it's everyone just sees the Instagram highlights, but the reality is there's a lot of grind to life.
It's funny. In every film that we've done, I like to, and I will say, I think we do a really good job of showing the actual facts. Like that brown bear hunt, the last one, killed it on the 15th day. Yeah, it's an absolute monster. And I had to stick to my goals and make sure that, you know, all that. And I was prepared to leave without one. But what people don't see is, like, there were nine other guys in camp, and by day eight, everybody was gone. They'd either shot a bear that they killed some good bears, but not giants.
Right.
And it's kind of, they get to the point where they're like, oh, that's good enough. You know? And it's like, if you really want a monster, or you really, whatever your goal is, you got to stay there. And I'm like, I mean, everybody was gone for 8 days by the time I killed that thing.
Yeah.
And they were just like, what's he doing out there? You know, they were just, and I could tell Lance was getting frustrated too. Not frustrated, but just like,
yeah,
we're really not going to shoot something unless it's giant. And I don't think people see that. And even with the kid thing, like, this sounds amazing. Oh, you know, we're out there, father and son. It's amazing. Like, it sucks too. We screw up and you know, we get tired and,
tired,
you know,
and hungry,
and hungry, and like, it's not like there's some struggles too, and like, we're you're teaching people, you know, like, especially teaching him, like, you know, there's, you get bored, you know, it's hard to teach him to have patience, you know, that's a tough lesson. Can barely sit still right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think the good lessons that, you know, being out in the field, whether you're hunting and fishing, kids can learn so much. From just seeing how it goes from, you know, you go from hero to zero, zero to hero. I mean, it's funny how that happens. It's no different in life. We were talking about Lucas loving wrestling and loving football and loving sports. And, you know, you were a small town athlete, if you will. You were from a small town and you made it to a D1 school to wrestle. And that's a heck of an accomplishment there. But, like, whoever thinks that someone coming from a small town is going to make it to Ohio State to go wrestling? I mean, that's just something that it doesn't happen a lot. It's pretty cool to see that, and to be able to see your son liking sports and liking hunting and doing stuff that you have enjoyed. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and my daughter's younger now too, and so hopefully she'll pick up some of that too. But yeah, I mean, that's like anywhere, like, you. I think people look at a lot of that stuff, and whether it's, you know, it's just a success in general. I mean, the other night we went out, we had dinner, which was pretty cool to come down here. Like, I took Lucas out, and Dirk Eddy and Randy Ulmer and Matt Lowe and Crispy all went out to dinner, and Randy's son Levi, and obviously, you know, I grew up, like, Randy was my idol.
Sure.
And it was just cool to go out and you know, he has those stories too of, like, I can't think the other night, I don't think one of us brought up a success or, like, hey, let me tell you about this big thing I killed. We spent 3 hours joking about all the shit that went wrong, you know.
How bad you screwed up.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like, oh, man, if I could have, you know, Randy, we were talking about this, you know, I missed the biggest doll sheep I've ever laid eyes on. I missed with my bow, and Randy's talking about, you know, this giant moose that he thought was 50 yards and turns out it was 100 yards away, and, like, stuff like that where you're just like, so it's just cool that, I mean, like, yeah, I think people don't see the success, and especially, like, with that bear film, and you look at, and I'll just say pretty much everybody else's bear film was a bunch of dramatized, over-exaggerated stuff that's like, that's not real. Like, I try to portray that this is how it really goes. And we try to, like, hey, if you really want to get something big, you got to stick to your goals, and you might not get one. You got to be prepared to leave without one. And it's just elk every year, you know, like, sometimes you eat a tag because you're just not going to find what you're after. That's how it goes.
I want to ask you about the latest Conservation Direct project. Unbelievable success, and then there was some callers that you guys wanted to sell to.
Well, I didn't think they'd sell out this fast, so last night I texted, I was like, hey, I'm in town, let's do a podcast, and we're going to launch these callers. So we're doing our newest project, which is going to be, what is today? Today is
the 12th.
Today is the 12th, so we are moving 20 to 25 sheep in Nevada from the sheep range to the Montana mountains. And there's been some confusion. It's not in Montana. The mountain range is called the Montana mountains. It's in northern Nevada. So we're doing a project with Nevada Division of Wildlife and Nevada Bighorns Unlimited, which is the 501c3 in Nevada. Great dudes. It has been an absolute pleasure of a project to work on. So, we are moving these sheep Saturday and Sunday. And like we normally do is like Kuyu paid for the entire project. But we want to, if customers want to participate, they can buy a collar or a part of a collar. It was 200 to 2000. You can buy a 10th of a collar, all that stuff. And so we took it live last night, and it's overwhelming to me just because, you know, this idea that I had 5 years ago and, you know, to see all this stuff come to fruition now, we're not knowing if somebody was going to respond to, hey, we're actually going to do this. And to where last night we sold $36,000 worth of collars in less than 6 hours.
I got a text from you at 7 a.m. I messaged you at 6 p.m. last night, and you said, yeah, they went live. And at 7 a.m., you texted me and said, they're all sold out.
And I got a text in the middle of the night that they were sold out. She goes, what do you want to do? She, the gal in MBU didn't know. Like, I told him, I said, we're going to wait until the very end. And then, like, because I think people, and it just goes to show, people want to see that they're like those collars that people purchased last night are going to be on sheep on Saturday.
Literally.
And we didn't sell one more than we needed. We didn't sell one less. Like your collar is going to have your name on it. I'm going to send people a picture that want to participate, and they're going to see like that collar went on a sheep and it went out. And it's a really cool project. So it's the first time we're working with California Bighorns. And I basically called, Endow and Mike Scott and said, hey, what do you guys got that you're doing that you need some funding on, or what can we help with? Which is what we like to do. Like we want to, you got a transplant that you might not be able to do this year that we can help out with, get funded. And so we came up with this one, and it's a cool project. Let me get my stats right. So this herd of sheep had 18 years worth of hunting. They were transplanted sometime in the 70s, and then they hunted them for, I think it was 18 years. And in the early to mid 2010s, they started having a die-off. They don't know what, you know, it was a disease driven. Mm-hmm. And so they went in and exterminated them. They were almost all dying off, and there was a few left over, which they call shedders, which they don't die, but they're not going to let them. Right. So they went in and cleaned the whole place out, and it's been cleaned out since, I think, 16.
And the reason they do that is they don't want to leave anything left to potentially, if there's new stuff brought in, to basically get them sick.
Those sheep will never be healthy again. Right. They're ruined, right, unfortunately. So they went in and exterminated them, and I think it was just a few. It was like 12 or something, and they got rid of them. So it's been clean since, I think, 16 or 17. And then, yeah, we're going to take 20. It depends on how many we catch on Saturday, but we're going to collar 18 of them and take them from the sheep range and move them to the Montana mountains. And it's going to be a first release, and this will be a huntable population. The cool thing about the Montana mountains is that it used to be the transplant stock. It was their California bighorn kind of nursery herd. It was doing really, really well. And so a lot of the other herds have come from there, and then they had a disease event and we're all gone. And so that's why you do these projects, is because they're eventually all going to have something go on. I mean, you've seen it in Arizona, like it's ebbs and flows. They go up and down, and sometimes, you know, it's a 4-H sheep gets out there. Sometimes it's predators. You just don't know what it is. But the thing about sheep is, the reason we have great sheep right now is because guys in the 60s and 70s and early 80s, they just took sheep and put them all over, and some stuck and some didn't. And so this is going to be a cool project. This is now be over 200 sheep we've moved since March of 2020, which is, I can't even believe.
It's been Arizona, Utah,
North Dakota, Nevada, and Montana.
Montana.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. So we're it'll be 9 translocations. It'll be 4 new huntable sheep populations, a bunch of supplemental stuff. So, I mean, we've made a big, and I say we, it's like the customers that have contributed to this. I'm just the guy that gets to quarterback this stuff and find these projects. But we've made more of an impact sheep hunting than anybody on the landscape, and I would argue anybody with it. I mean, 200 sheep. Nobody's moved 200 sheep. Nobody since 2020. And big impactful projects that, you know, we've repopulated Antelope Island basically twice. We took sheep from Montana, put them on there, and then we moved sheep from Morenci in Arizona down there and put the other ones on there. They're going to hit 100 sheep here not too long, that they're going to start transplanting sheep that we put on there and have grown into Utah. And I mean, the what's going to happen in Utah in the next 10 years because of that transplant is going to be incredible, because Utah is crazy proactive. Like they will go in and clean places out. They'll put new sheep in there. They're going to do some awesome stuff, and it's a phenomenal genetics. Those were California bighorns. Now they're Rockies. The North Dakota herd is approaching 100. They're probably going to hunt those in the next probably 3 years from now. And there's some absolute giants there. There's very few predators. Phenomenal habitat. I mean, a lot of people don't know that in places that where they put brand new sheep that haven't been there in a long time, those were exterminated and like the 1860s. So that habitat has not been tapped at all. It's real breaky escape cover, some deer, but it's really sheep habitat. Well, when you take new sheep and put them in there, in the first 6 to 13 years is when the monsters show up. I mean, there are other areas that produce monsters based on other factors, but in general, if you look at Hell's Canyon or any of these other, or the breaks, or you know, it's not that long after the transplant, because they're eating the absolute best stuff, and you just get to see the genetics come to fruition. Well, that's what's happened in North Dakota too. I just talked to Brett the other day. I mean, they've had like 3 mortalities total, but you know, they're over 70 sheep now. They'll be over 100 not too long. They'll start moving those sheep as well, start hunting them. These projects are just, it's just been unbelievable and just cool to do. And
it was important to you when you started this to make sure that you had something where you could just go to different states and say, what is your need? What can we do as Kuyu, as a company, Kuyu customers? What can we do to help? We want to direct cash infusion into whatever you need, right?
I don't want to be the Red Cross. I want to feed people.
Right.
You know, like, I don't want to give money to stuff that is going to be in the greater, you know, that's all great. And I'm not hacking on any of that, but we're going to do single projects. We're going to see them to fruition. We're going to pay for the whole thing. And we're going to be active. It's like, we're going to get our hands dirty. And that was my whole thing. Like, we, you know, one of the hacks on us, for when we started all the way through is, you know, oh, they don't do anything for conservation, or what do they do? You know, and now, like, there's nobody bringing our name up. Like, there's no other company that is doing anything close to what we're doing because of this model, the Conservation Direct model. I mean, period. End of story. There's no way. Like, there, you can give money, but it's a combination of giving money and being involved and doing actual projects, which is what. Well, it's just, it's been phenomenal. Like I said, we've moved 200 sheep in a little under 4 years. I mean, that's.
And, you know, it's, you talk about having Lucas here, that's another thing. You're leading by example, showing him that, son, we need to, these places need help, and we can help, and we're going to do it. And with Kuyu's help, with Kuyu customers' help, let's do it. You got a project. Contact Brendan. Let's figure it out.
I'm hunting stuff that people took care of long before I was here. And it's been a pretty good run, and I want to continue that on for. And it's just smart too. I mean, that's just what you have to do. I mean, it's no secret we're doing very well. I think, and this is when we started. As I said, like our customers expect us to do good things when we're having windfalls. Like it's been a really good run. I mean, we're not hiding anything. Like we're doing great as a company. It's been very successful, and you got to give back, and just giving money and buying ads and all that stuff, that just wasn't enough for us. And we were kind of isolated anyways with our consumer direct model. Like everybody else was kind of all tied together, and we were isolated. I mean, it wasn't that we didn't want to do projects before. We weren't invited to do them. And so finally I just said, I'm going to do it myself. Right. It's been phenomenal. And this project's another one. You know, I've developed some really, the Nevada has been amazing to work with. They're very, very proactive, great people. And the one thing about Nevada that I've noticed is most of the people that work at Indow and the guys that I'm dealing with and the people that we're dealing with are actually sheep hunters. They've either drawn tags or friends that drawn tags. Like, and it's been a really cool project to deal with because they're all. It's kind of a different lens when they're real hunters. Like there's some biologists that aren't, and you got to kind of explain, and that, you know, there's, but with the guys that are actively involved in hunting and they're all hunters, like they get it, you know, which is pretty cool to see. And so everybody we've worked with has been just phenomenal. This is a really fun project. And NBU, which is the Nevada Bighorns Unlimited, they've been awesome to work with. They're the ones that kind of held all the money. You know, again, we don't take, since 2020 Conservation Direct, we have not taken one dime from anybody, not $1, not one penny. Whatever we do, we run it through the nearest. It was Midwest Wild Sheep for the first one. It was ADBSS. It was Utah Wild Sheep. Now in Dow, we did a guzzler project with Fraternity of Desert Bighorn Sheep in Nevada. We just run it through whatever the local 501c3
is. In other
is.
Words, you want the money to pass completely through the 501c3,
yep,
directly to the ground. You, yep, don't want to have anything in the middle where there's any loss at all. You want to go straight from here to there and direct, and that's why it's called conservation.
Zero overhead. I got a job. I already, the camera guy that's showing up, we pay him. That's a marketing expense. That's not, none of that stuff is paid through. The money goes on the ground. Yeah. Yeah, right to the, like just this money last night, everybody's collar, that went directly to a collar. So
if people want to hear more about Conservation Direct, go to conservationdirect.com.
Yeah, or Kuyu, it's under our story. It's on, okay, the, you know, we have some films about the projects we've done, and you can read the write-ups and what it is. And yeah, it's my favorite thing to do now. Like it's just such a cool part of, there's a lot goes into it. It takes a lot of time. This project is, I thought it was going to go in November, December. It's taken a long time to get ramped up and, you know, capture crews and all this kind of stuff. But it's been great, and yeah, we're making a real difference. I mean, like this population will probably do another 20 next year to here. So it's 20 to begin with, 20 to 25, whatever we can catch. And then we'll do another 20 in another year. And, you know, that's a huntable population in 5 to 7 years. And hopefully they'll be back to what they had 18 years of hunting previously. Hopefully there's, you know, 4 or 5 tags a year for 18 more years. And that's kind of the model that needs to be taken. I mean, sheep love to die if we're not being super proactive. I can say I'm becoming an expert on this field, having watched, and you know, I can kind of sort through all the different states and how they do it. Some of them do it better than others. But the one thing is we just need to be proactive. And, you know, and they're not all going to stick. Some sheep are going to die. Some things are not going to work out well, but like it's a big science experiment. We got to keep it going. I mean, we moved some of the sheep in Arizona here. It was a tremendous project. We moved, it was 84 sheep in 2021 or two, but some of them got eaten by mountain lions after we transplanted them. That's how it goes. You know, you're never going to know how it's working until, not all of them, but some of them, there was a few, and then they went in and got those lions and, you know, like that. That nothing's 100%, so right. That's why it's, you know, and we're happy to do this. You know, it's been just awesome to do. And I think it truly sets our business apart from anybody else. And I would say, like, nobody else is doing this, you know.
Let's talk about Kuyu a little bit. 2010, we're now 2024.
Yeah.
It's been a heck of a ride. It's amazing to see how it's from the start to where it's at now. It continues to grow, continues to build, continues to innovate, continues to be a leader. Yeah. I don't think there's any question that Kuyu's a leader of innovation with the products. Kuyu has branched out. They've got duck hunting gear, whitetail gear, women's gear. I mean, it's become amazingly broad. From your perspective, how has Kuyu executed on bringing some of those different lines into the marketplace?
It's been it's all grown organically. I mean, we don't chase markets. Everything has been, if we can do a better job than what's out there by far with better fabrics and better designs, we'll do it. And that's truly how it stayed.
It's seeing a need and filling the
need. And a customer request. I mean, a lot of this stuff's like, hey man, you know, I'm using your stuff here, you know, and that's where, you know, whether it's women's or waterfowl or even you know, the whitetail side, where everybody calls it whitetail, but the where we set it on the path is cold and quiet. Like, people are looking for stuff that's going to keep them warm and it's going to keep them quiet. And that's why we call it cold and quiet. And that stuff has a lot of crossover appeal and lots of different things. But the whitetail guys love that because that's what it is. But, you know, there's a lot of times where you want to be super warm and you're sitting there, you know, I mean, I hunt in Montana. I never sit in a tree stand.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be sitting down over a big cliff glass and looking down in river stuff, you know, like totally different. And that stuff's like, wow, this is pretty awesome. And you know, Lucas and I are duck hunting a bunch now. And, you know, when you know, the specialty pockets and stuff, when you're like, oh, and that's stuff that I wasn't involved in the development or design. But when you go use it and you're like, man, this stuff's awesome.
Right.
And it's like, I wasn't involved in it. Like, it was, so yeah, it's been, everything has grown. It's organic, but it's grown fast. And, you know, between our fabric and sourcing, you know, we forever said, like, we have the best fabrics in the world. Nobody can compete with what we're doing. That's why people are always trying to copy stuff or, you know, I mean, you have a fabric that comes out in a pant and they're like, oh, first ever with this dot. You know, it's like, oh, you mean like very similar, like the Tiburon pant from 10 years ago?
Right.
You know, like, oh, wow, how'd you come up with that? That's amazing.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, imitation is the highest form of flattery, but, you know, we're being overly flattered lately. So we're going to continue to grow. We've got some awesome projects coming in the future, and we're always, things change. We're always refining stuff. You know, I mean, there's just stuff that you use and more innovation that comes out. We've got newer fabrics that are more stretch, more water resistant. We're always looking at new stuff, and that's what's pretty cool about it.
Part of being so good at innovation and being a leader in that category, I would think, is pushing that bar continually. And it for me, watching Kuyu continue to grow and continue to kick out incredible products is a testament to your team that you guys have,
for sure,
and the customer feedback, but trying to just get better and better and better and not sit back and rest on your success, right? Like, you're willing to tear it all down and start over on a particular product if you think that there's improvements to be made.
Yeah, I mean, everybody at that role at Kuyu is an expert at what they do. Like, we don't just hire people that are like, oh, I love to hunt. That's not the case. Everybody is an absolute expert at what they do, whether it's sourcing or fabrics or development or, I mean, whatever somebody does like that. We have an absolute mountain of incredible people, and that allows us to. And we're also like you've known me for a long time. I am the absolute biggest critic of anything we do ever. Like, we just do not like think everything we do is amazing. Like, when our development process is very, very harsh on, and we see things in reality. I tell everybody, like, we send out where the guys that test our stuff, we find guys that are like, and they got to be critical. Like, if you never give any feedback other than, oh, it's great, you won't be doing it very long. Like, we need the feedback, and we get real feedback from real guys that are using it. Not just like, oh man, it's amazing. And that's why our products continue to be incredible. You know, I mean, like, we've had a few misses here and there, but it's pretty few and far between anymore. And usually, if anything were ever to happen, it was something that we didn't see that was beyond our control and probably wasn't in the originals. But no, it's just great. It's like anything. It's great people, the fundamentals of the business, you know, innovation never rests, and a bunch of tremendous people that are working towards the same goal. It's not too tied down in you know, how things are exactly. There's a lot of ways to get to the finish line, and we do a lot of different ones. Some are customer feedback, some's to in-house design, some's, you know, new fabric. Like, it just depends on how we're going to get there. So.
Switching topics, upcoming hunts that you have that you're looking forward to, anything specific that you have, say, over the next 2 to 3 years, maybe this summer, what's going on, what's on your list?
Yeah, I'm going, I've got Lucas and I are going mountain caribou hunting in the NWT. That's going to be pretty cool.
Will you both try and get one?
Or? No, he's going to shoot. He's okay. Going to hunt.
Awesome. Yeah.
So he's going to be backpacking for the first time, and so we're going to go up there, and it'll spend 10 days up there. And I love the Mackenzies. I mean, if anybody gets a chance to go, I mean, the Mackenzie Mountains are phenomenal, especially we're going late July. The weather's normally good, knock on wood. But
I've been there. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's just beautiful. Yeah. I mean, it's phenomenal. I mean, it's as remote as you can get. Like, that's yeah, it's phenomenal. And then I'm going to come home, and then I jump across the border. 10 days later, I'm going doll sheep hunting at Bonnet Plume again. I haven't been back there since 2016. Gonna go back there and hunt sheep. I've had that hunt book for a long time. And then, you know, same kind of thing. I love to hunt elk in Montana, and it's been really, really good. I'm not seeing, you know, I'm able to turn up something giant every year, and I just, like, that's what I like to do. So I don't like to have a ton. I mean every drawing out there, I've got points everywhere, you know, 20 to 18 to 24 points pretty much everywhere, which isn't enough.
Do you find the older you get, the more you kind of pull back and just do the things you love, or do you find yourself wanting to do new stuff? Like, where are you at as far as...
I have very few bucket list things left to do. So I've gotten to where I like to hunt sheep, I like to hunt elk, and I like to hunt big bears. That's my favorite to do. Like, I'm doing lots of other stuff. I'm going to go to Turkey next year and shoot a bezoar ibex, which is cool. I don't love to travel that much. I mean, like, big, long plane rides and stuff, I don't love that. But I'm going to go over there. I love hunting. I love doing the stuff that I've – and I don't think it's like I want to stay close to home. I think it's more – I spent so much time developing the skill set that I'm good at and where I'm good at it that I like to be there. Like, I feel like I'm pretty damn effective now.
Yeah.
So, because I've just spent so much time doing it, and so that's why I love that. And I did wilderness hunting in Wyoming this fall with my buddy AJ and Kyle and Jason Whittaman, Kyle McGovern. We went down to the wilderness in Wyoming and went with Lost Creek Outfitters, Jimmy Owens, and did a full on horseback hunt in Wyoming. I could have killed a really nice bull and didn't. And those guys killed good bulls, and it was just a cool hunt, something totally different. We were on mules for 10 days straight, and it was pretty cool. So some different stuff, like the definitely getting more experience related until I see something big. So, you know, and then when you see something really big, then it kind of converts back to it's me again. But yeah, I mean, I'm definitely doing more stuff for hanging with the guys and, you know, with Lucas. And you know, like I said, you don't need to, you know, I'm not I don't like to stack things on top of each other like I used to anymore, you know.
With Lucas in Montana, what is the age structure? When can he start hunting elk? How does that work?
This year, yeah. Okay. So he'll be 12 this year, but he's killed deer the last 2 years. They have a youth mentor program, so you can hunt deer with a rifle only when you're 10 and 11.
Okay.
So he'll start bow hunting this year, and he went and got hunter's ed and bow hunter's ed during COVID, which was awesome because we didn't have to go in person.
Mm-hmm.
So he took all that stuff. So he's dialed, and he's, you know, he's in every drawing in every state. Either I got a $6,000 bill this morning from New Mexico for youth desert sheep and elk. So, but yeah, I mean, well, same deal. We're on the, you know, we'll see like normal, you know, plan on the stuff that you can guarantee and react to the good luck. You know, if I draw, you know, a desert sheep tag or something, I'll drop everything. So we'll see how it goes, but you know, there'll be a few more of those maybe, but yeah, just kind of the same stuff. And, I'm going brown bear hunting this spring with, going up there with a buddy, to go same place with Lance, going to help him out. So that'll be fun. So I like to do that every year.
When's Lucas's first bear hunt?
I don't know. He's going to have to
5 or 6 years.
He's going to have to mow some lawns. We'll see. He'll, if I say a date, he'll hold me to it. So it could be,
I'm thinking it's a good 18th birthday present. What do you think, Lucas? High school graduation. Okay. I like the way you
your
think.
High school graduation is already going to be a doll sheep hunt. We already talked about this.
Why not?
Straight A's all the way through until high school. I'm going to buy him a doll sheep hunt. That's it. Straight A's. And I mean, I'm talking 1B. You're not going, you will not kill a sheep. So.
All right, buddy.
Be smart.
He said it. Do it.
Yeah. So that's, but. That's, no, it's been good. How about you? What are you? Anything big this fall?
Just see what I draw, you know. Yeah. I've got 21 points in Arizona for deer. That's probably my best shot. You know, that's a lot of points, but I'm chasing those tags up on the strip, and I do now have 20 points for elk in Arizona, and I'm just kind of waiting for the right time and the, you know, the right year. And I can pretty much draw any unit I want in Arizona, so we'll see, but
Are you seeing less and less guys that you know drawing? Like in Montana right now, like, I don't hardly know anybody that draws sheep, goat, moose anymore. Like, is it with the elk thing? It used to be every year you knew 10 guys, and now is it, like, less and less?
Yeah, I mean, I would say yes and no. I think the thing is, compared to when I used to hunt, you know, 9, 10, 23 a lot in Arizona and guide in those units, before all this online mapping, before, you know, OnX, Go Hunt, all these different maps, everyone had to know the units. Like, yeah. I knew unit 10, I knew the roads. It wasn't even like there was no digital mapping at all. Yeah. What I do find, and it was interesting, Dark killed last year in unit 10, killed a really good bull, 399,
huge bull,
and he was like, Jay, he's like, all those pockets that we used to hunt, all those little places that we like learned on our own from spending months up there, he's like, people literally can show up there because they've e-scouted and found a little rim where you can get up and, on a rock pile that, like, we've never seen anybody glass off of. And he said, there'll be four guys show up by the time, by 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, like they're showing up from everywhere. So, and I'm not knocking that. It's just the reality of what
it is.
It is,
I mean, yeah.
People have gotten better. Mapping's gotten better. And so it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
It used to be the more time you spent, the better you knew it and the better you were at finding those animals. And I still think that's the case to a certain extent, but, you know, it's one of those things that, like, the better equipped we are as hunters, the better we can be. And so that's what I see when I go out on, you know, public ground and stuff. Everyone knows everything. And to be able to share a waypoint, I mean, stuff that you've had, you probably deal with it in Montana, that you just know how to get there, you know how to navigate in the dark up to the spot. Someone can just send you the track and send you the point, and they're sitting there an hour before you get there. You know,
yeah.
You know, they've never
been
there.
Someone's not going to be me, but.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, no, it's we're seeing the same thing, and I think the barrier to entry is just so much easier on everything now. It's like you can ease out it, and like, hey, that's how it, I mean, the old guys and that I knew when I was, you know, like around 2000, they were saying, oh, it's all ruined. And I was like, and that was the peak for, I mean, it's just been phenomenal since. So I think you just got to adjust everything to begin with, but definitely drawing tags is getting more difficult.
Yeah. And, you know, I think a lot of the states around the West, unfortunately, a lot of the quality is not what it used to be, but some of that is giving out too many tags and too liberal of allocations of tags, but it's also better hunters, you know, better equipment.
Oh, man.
Everything. I mean, we've become more efficient with our weapon. The whole thing, it's like,
you can stay out. If you're wearing cootie, you can stay out longer. It's not as cold. Same deal. You know,
literally, you can just sleep on the ground.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I'm just going to stay right here, going to stay over the night. I should walk back 4 miles back to the truck or whatever. I'm just going to stay here. I can kill that buck at daylight.
Long range gun.
And that's what happens.
Better optics, everything. Yeah, it is an interesting time. I mean, I think it's the same as it's always been for everything. It's, you know, they just, it continues. You just have to adjust. I mean, the one thing for where I'm hunting is the only thing that's been consistent is that it's always changing.
Yeah.
You know,
a good example is my dad made it to the NFR, I think, 3 times riding saddle bronc, and he still goes and stuff to the NFR in Vegas, and then watches it on TV too. And every time he goes, and this was back like mid 60s, late 60s, when he was riding, now what he says is, he says, Jay, the athletes now are so much better than when I was riding. He goes, the whether it's bull riding, saddle bronc riding, yeah, whatever, the animals are better, the people are better, the technique is better, which is great. It just means we're all evolving and getting better at what we do, but it's more competitive.
Oh, it's the same. And I mean, comparables like college wrestling, and you get guys that are, you know, back in the day, they're like, how'd you do now? It's like, they'd crush us now. Like, it is totally evolved. They're way better at scrambling. They're like, I mean, these guys, like, they're the diet stuff, mentality on it, like, every, they're just getting better and better, and you got to adjust. You know, they are better.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Yeah, same deal. I'm sure every athletic thing is the same, where guys, they like, feel, oh, back in our day, like, no, dude, back in our day, they're just way better.
Yeah. It's been great having you guys here.
Yeah.
Hope you guys can enjoy some more of this weather. Want to give you a chance. Any last minute thoughts? Anything?
Yeah, just the conservation directing. That's why we came here. I want to thank everybody that bought a collar. I didn't expect it to sell out that fast, but I'm super, like, I'm so proud of these projects and the reaction that people have to the support that we have for it. And then, we're moving some sheep on Saturday and Sunday, and then there'll be a follow up on social and stuff on this project. It's a cool project to see. And like I said, keep your eyes out on these things come up. And if you want to be a part of one of them, they're definitely getting, it's the opportunity to participate is it goes away a little fast. Like, that's the fastest we've ever sold out the collars. But I've got another project coming up in it's going to be a guzzler project, and it's actually going to be a volunteer project more so than a money project. So if somebody wants to, just keep an eye out. We got a guzzler project. If you want to volunteer, going to take some physical labor and some people showing up to make this one happen, and that'll be another one that we're going to do. So just keep an eye out. But yeah, we're always, I don't mean to be vague on these projects. It's just with permitting and there's so many things that come in the way. And like, this one was supposed to go in November. So we just kind of wait till the very end till they're going to go. 'Cause you get people excited and then it doesn't go. Like, it's just, you know, when you're dealing with government stuff
and red tape,
government stuff, red tape and weather, animals, all this stuff, like, sometimes they don't go, sometimes they do go, sometimes it's quicker than others. So I you know, like, I'm definitely vague about hunting spots, but with this, I don't mean to be. It's just that we never know when it's going to totally go, and I don't like to tell people about stuff until it's basically done. So yeah. But yeah, all good. We're gonna go work on the suntan today and maybe go down the water slide.
Nice. Well, it's always great having you guys here.
Thanks, man.
Lucas, I want to wish you the best of success, and I'm going to be excited to see the progress that you make as a young man and all the things that you do and wrestling and football and school and all your hunting stuff. So stay close to this guy and you'll do just fine. And I'm excited to see how you progress over the years. And you're a fine young man. I've known you for several years, and it's always great having you, and you're always welcome in this house, okay? Thank you. All right, buddy. Brendan, it's always great having you. Just wish you the best of success.
Yeah, well, we'll do another one shortly.
Okay, buddy.
All right, well,